As a parent, you always want to set your child up for success. So when they're struggling in school or they need help with homework, you try your best to step up. But sometimes you might not be equipped to answer. And it's better to leave that to the experts from IXL Learning. IXL Learning is an online learning program for kids. It covers math, language arts, science, and social studies. IXL can help your child really understand and master topics in a fun way with positive feedback. Powered by advanced algorithms, IXL gives the right help to each kid, no matter the age or personality. And when you sign up, one subscription gets you everything you need for all the kids in your home, from pre-K to 12th grade. IXL is used in 95 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S., with 1 in 4 students across the country using the program. So don't wait any longer. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
This podcast on 97.3 The Fan is presented by Hummel Casino. Fun above all else. But Gwen and Chris are just getting started.
Sports talk it is.
Your hosts, Tony Gwynn Jr.
Right, they won game one, and then the Padres, you know, spanked their backsides for the next three.
And Chris Ello.
Would you let me tell the story?
Sorry, yes.
Mr. Interrupter?
Yes, I will.
It's time to get you up to speed on all things sports.
Yes! Yes! Yes!
With plenty of nonsense in between.
Oh, look! Here comes our fearless producer!
Gwen and Chris starts right now on 97.3 The Fan.
Hey, what is happening in San Diego, and welcome to it, the Wednesday edition of Gwen and Chris on San Diego's number one sports talk station, 97.3 The Fam. 2:01 is the time. We got four fun hours to hang out with you between now and 6 o'clock, Chris Ello. And then things get a little murky after that. Tony Gwynn Jr. remains on a mini vacation out for the next couple of days. Matt Scraby remains in the infirmary. Still sick. Second day in a row that Scraby is out. So that means we get our friend Big Frank back in again, who did an excellent job, by the way, yesterday. Frank Marchese.
Thank you very much. Good afternoon.
Thanks for coming in once again, sir.
Not a problem.
Look forward to hanging out, talking sports with a Mets fan for a little while. And on the other side, there he is. Nice enough on one of his off days to come in and be part of the program for a little while, maybe a couple of hours even. The great one, Mr. Sam Levitt from the Padres pre and post game show, but you're so much more than that. You are, you know what? You are, you become a fan, an icon. I mean, I don't know if you've ever seen this, Frank, at a ball game. But Sam will be down in front of the Padres dugout before the game, doing some interviews, maybe after the game, getting ready for post game. He cannot walk from one end of the dugout to the other without a throng of Petco Park faithful yelling, screaming, Sammy, Sammy, Sammy. They love this guy, Sam Levitt. Thank you so much for coming in. We love you too.
Good to be here. I spoke to Scraby earlier. I don't know. It sounded fine to me.
Yeah, well, look, it's probably going to get good to him now that he's... I said this yesterday. I mean, I miss him, but Frank and I kind of realized yesterday when he sits at home and just types stuff into the document,
right,
which is, you know, technologically capable these days. I think he worked harder yesterday than he does when he's here on the show. So we just assume leave him at home. And that way we get his input from home, and we got Big Frank here. So
did he do any kind of check-in yesterday?
He didn't check
air?
In. No, okay. He said he was pretty.
He did.
Bad shape yesterday. I think.
Yeah. In all seriousness, I spoke to him this morning, and he was not in great shape. So
no,
one more day, I think.
Well, and I've said this before. I said it yesterday, but Scraby is nothing if not a gamer, and he loathes missing a show. So, and you know, he misses his fans. I mean, this was a big week for him to have his Scraby Chronicles.
That's right.
After our show, and he's had to miss that last night and tonight. So yeah, he's definitely disappointed. We wish him a full and speedier recovery. But in the meantime, we'll hang out chit-chatting with you all for the next couple of hours, actually 4 hours. But,
in fact, you know, you kind of were saying how people come up to me at the ballpark or yell at me at the ballpark, and that's partially true, but the main thing they actually say to me, they say, Sam, do you know Scraby?
Yes, I know they do. Too.
What is Scraby like? Do you actually get to see and talk to Matt Scraby?
You're right.
Wow.
I get that question far too often.
Can you pass this along to Scraby?
I know. People want to know about Scraby.
Can you get this signed by Scraby?
Good. That really?
Would you give my number to Matt Scraby?
Okay, we know that's not true. But the one thing that is true is that when they come up to me, they want me to be nicer to Scraby. That is the universal conversation that I have with listeners out there. You've got to be nicer to Scraby. And you people just don't understand. First of all, the reason I sound like I'm not as nice to him as he is to me, first of all, it's frankly because I'm just better at it. I'm better at, you know, getting on his case than he is at getting on my case. So that's, you know, let's just be honest. That's just kind of the way that goes. But the second thing is he's not always 100% nice to us. He just does it off the air.
Right.
He does it off the air. I mean, he's, you know, he can treat us very, very rudely sometimes. So I just want you people to know the full story out there. But enough about people that aren't here. Let's talk about the people that are. Highlight moment of the All-Star game for me last night. And I look, as much as I despise the home run derby, and I didn't watch any of it on Monday night except for what was on in the TV here during our show. As much as I despise the home run derby and don't really find much interest in that, it's just part of my DNA to watch the Major League Baseball All-Star game. It always has been. It's been something that's intrigued me for my entire life. I've always enjoyed it. There are a lot of things I don't enjoy about it now as much as I used to. We may need a whole segment to talk about how despicably ugly those uniforms were, but I still watch the game, and I got to tell you, Sammy, when they introduced Jerks and Profar into the starting lineup last night and he came running out of the dugout, he had a smile on his face. And that's saying something for Jerks and Profar, because we know he's always smiling. But this was one happy young man, and I couldn't help but just feel terrific for him. And then his first at bat to hook a line drive into the corner, and get on base with a single. It could have been a double, except for Juan Soto made maybe the best defensive play I've ever seen him make. But that was the highlight for me, was watching Profar get to be in the All-Star game and then, you know, get a hit his first time up.
Yeah, it was really cool. I mean, to see Profar there and with his son and watch all the video and on ESPN during the Derby and see all the cool social media stuff they did, it was awesome. To me, the Padres side of things, the storylines for Profar, for Suarez, for Merrill, for even Luis Arraez, being there, able to experience it with his family. I thought the storylines were really cool from a Padres perspective. And from the Padres perspective last night, those guys did a nice job. Profar had the hit that started the rally before the Ohtani home run. Suarez struck out a couple of batters, if you could see it, beyond David Ortiz interviewing everybody.
Thank you,
everybody.
David Ortiz, for hogging the screen during our Robert Suarez's moment of fame. Yeah, for sure.
And then Merrill had a base hit, you know, a little infield single. A little hustle. You like that? So I thought it was a nice day for the Padres overall.
Yeah, Padres, the Padres three players who were in the game all contributed. Profar made a nice running catch down in the left field corner as well on a line drive. So, yeah, the Padres' input was good. Suarez, you know, he just lost all of his screen time. I mean, come on. You know my feeling on in-game interviews already, Sam. I'm not a fan of that. I tune in to actually watch these games, not to see David Ortiz sneak up behind Gunnar Henderson and try to tickle him in the ribs. I really don't see how that adds to my enjoyment of a ball game, but it is part of the fluff, I guess, that we get in this day and age. So
yeah,
I kind of had to deal with it. But yeah, you're right. It happened right while Suarez was getting the two outs he got.
Yeah, look, I know a lot of people get really bent out of shape about the in-game interviews and all of it. Here's what you got to realize. The game, let's be honest, in an overall sense, it doesn't have the juice it once did.
No, it needs. They're trying to get more juice. They're trying to give us something we can't get. Yeah, you're right.
And they said it in the last hour on Annie and Elston, and a big part of it was there was once upon a time, and you know this, Chris, that you did not see the American League and National League guys play each other ever beyond two events, the World Series and the All-Star game, and that was it. So there was a real novelty to those guys.
And a lot of the guys never got to the World Series. So,
right.
I mean, let's just take a guy like Willie Mays, for example, in his unbelievable career, and he was in 24 All-Star games. The guy was in two World Series during that time. So the other 22 years, he didn't face anybody in the American League, and it was something special to see, you know, Jim Palmer face Willie Mays or Sandy Koufax take on Frank Howard in the American League. Whatever it was, you know, you really looked forward to it. They tried to get us a little of that last night with Paul Skeens versus Aaron Judge, but it was kind of it flamed out because Judge hit a quick ground ball to third. But B, if they haven't played already, the Pirates and the Yankees will eventually play this year or next year and every year. So Paul Skeens will get to face Aaron Judge plenty of times. So.
Yeah, I will say I like the Skeens part of it. I thought that was a great move by Major League Baseball.
I did too.
Him start. Good job by Juan Soto drawing a walk so we could see the Judge versus Skeens at bat.
How did Juan Soto ever draw a walk? Wow. That was really a shocker.
I'll say this, though. You know, if you're Aaron Judge, can you take a pitch? I mean, you know everybody's...
Let the drama build a little bit.
I got to tell you, not a great job by Aaron Judge. Take a pitch. You know everybody's been waiting for this matchup, hoping that it would get to the cleanup spot for Skeens to face Judge. Can we work it a little at bat? Can we take a pitch or two? It was a little anticlimactic, I got to admit. But look, Skeens was great. I thought that was a great move. And, you know, look, there's some really simple things they could do to make this better. Like, and I know it sounds like, and it's really not a small thing. I think it's a fairly big thing. They got to have these guys start wearing their uniforms.
Absolutely.
They got
Again,
to.
It's I, got to go
know,
back.
It sounds like a small thing because it's about uniform. It's really not. It changes the feel of it and the product on TV.
Well,
and
Yeah, Fred Lynn, the great Boston Red Sox center fielder, who has still hit the only Grand Slam in All-Star Game history, tweeted out something that, you know, made sense about the whole uniform thing. And his point was, you know, how can people tuning in to watch the All-Star Game really take pride in their home team when these guys are going out there wearing those uniforms instead of their own?
Right.
I mean, it adds to some of your own, you know, team pride to see Profar out there in his Padre uniform, to be able to boo Otani because he's wearing a Dodger uniform, or cheer him, whatever you want. But this is a no-brainer.
Yeah.
This is not. I have not heard. Have you heard one, Frank? Have you heard one person anywhere in your vast knowledge of relationships that says, "Yeah, I really like these All-Star Game uniforms"?
No, not
nobody
at all.
Likes them.
No, not at all. And another thing I thought of on the way here was, when was the last time you saw a fan actually wearing an All-Star jersey?
Pretty rare. People buy a few of them.
Yeah, right.
It's not nearly as popular as Major League Baseball wants it to be.
And by the way, if the goal is to make jerseys and you need Nike to make apparel and you need to sell it, then fine. Have them wear it for BP. Have them wear it during the Home Run Derby. That's fine.
People will still buy
them.
Yeah, people will still buy them. But you know what else?
But during the actual game, wear the jerseys.
The other thing is Major League Baseball simply does not need the extra $20 that they're making on these uniforms. I mean, come on, people. Money is, we all understand everything is a marketing thing nowadays, but can't you just leave one thing alone?
The other issue is this. The uniforms last night, look, the American League ones were okay. Like, those National League uniforms, why? What's with the teal?
It didn't make any sense. It made no sense
it
for
the. It didn't feel like Ranger colors.
No, and the cowboy hats did. The 10-gallon hats didn't put me in a Texas Ranger mood necessarily either.
Well, look,
I know they were trying to accomplish that, I didn't really feel that either. So
look, I understand each All-Star game, they're trying to create a certain feel. And look, I thought, like, the lead up to the game, the graphics that all the teams put together, Padres included, they did a nice job, kind of, you know, the wanted poster type graphic. And the cowboy hats. I'm okay with
it. Did you notice they were all wearing their own uniforms in those?
Oh, that's true.
Right?
I'm okay with that. I understand you want a little feel of a different, you know, All-Star game than the year before. I get that. I will say this, though. When the players are running out during the introductions and they had those guys, like, lassoing around them, did you see that? I was like, all right. We get it.
Good thing the lasso guys had some control out there. I would have hate to see Teoscar Hernandez get tripped up as he ran out to the third base foul line.
I'm watching that last night. I'm like, you know, and Ohtani or whoever is running out there. I'm like, I'm afraid they're going to hit him with the lasso.
Yeah, it was kind of comical.
Yeah, the whole thing
was crazy.
I said, oh, and the mechanical bull, it's fine. There was a point, though, where it was like, all right,
Enough.
We get the theme, yes.
All right. Well, the American League wins the All-Star game. For those who keep track of that kind of thing, I believe they've won 11 out of the last 12. So they've been on a roll. It used to be the other way. When I was younger, the National League went on a streak where I believe they won every game except for 1971 and 1983, and just took it year after year. And in those days, the National League enjoyed having the hammer over the American League because those guys, as you said, they stayed with their teams, they stayed in their leagues, and they felt it gave them a little air of superiority over the other league, whereas that is not important to these guys now. And I totally understand that. I mean, you know, Juan Soto, for example, played in the National League last year, All-Star, and he's American League this year.
Right.
There's many guys who do that.
And that's another part of it, the fact that guys are bouncing around in a way they just didn't, you know, 40 years ago.
That's it. All right. Let's see. Paul Skeens, again, you're right. He disappointed in the sense that he didn't get a strikeout, though. I mean, you know, this was, you know, come on. I expected him to bust out at least 102-mile-per-hour pitch. He was only going to pitch one inning. You know, you got to let it fly out there.
Well, for a guy that strikes out a ton, you would have liked to
didn't get any.
I will say this, though, as you're watching that first inning last night, and I don't know that people who don't follow the Pirates or Skeens all that closely realize this, even though he throws hard and even though he strikes out a ton of guys, he is, and this is part of what makes him so special, he's a real pitcher. Like he,
he's not just rearing back and firing.
Not at all. That's what makes him so good and so special at this age, because he's somebody who throws hard, but he throws a number of different pitches. They're all really good. He mixes and matches. I mean, it's so my point is what he did in the first inning last night was kind of how he does things. He just didn't have a strikeout.
Yeah, there's a couple of things about Paul Skenes that I did not know. This was really the first time that I'd watched him pitch. And again, I don't think this gives an unbelievable idea of what he's like, because it was just over one inning. First of all, he's 6'6". So he's a lot taller than you think he might be, you know? 6'6" up there. He's also a Southern California kid. I did not realize that.
Where is he from?
He's from Fullerton, okay. And he went to El Toro High School, which is right near where the 5 and the 405 merge up there in, just north of Orange County. He also attended the U.S. Air Force Academy before going on to LSU.
Yeah.
And a few things about Skenes I did not know.
Yeah, and they did a nice job on the TV broadcast last night talking about that, the Air Force part of it. Joe Davis did a nice job.
Yeah, I mean, and he's only 22 years old, and how young is he? I actually detected some acne on Paul Skenes last night.
He's a young guy.
He's young. Yeah, he's just a baby.
And he's dating Livy.
And if they have to, you know, if the guy's got a little acne, maybe we don't have to hold the close up shot for like 3 straight minutes.
Those HD cameras don't help anyone.
No, they don't miss a thing.
I will say this. The broadcast last night did a really good job with Skenes, because I felt like they got every aspect of the Paul Skenes experience. They got the mustache. They got the pitching, the fastball, some of the breaking stuff. They got Livy on TV.
Of course.
Look, hey.
That was a must.
Look.
That was a must.
She's a star. I mean, she is... Social media wise, huge. That's a power couple. You got, just like Taylor Swift was all over the TV.
I know.
For Kelsey,
get used to it.
A real part of the story, seriously.
So, I don't mind.
I thought they did a good job.
I've gotten used to that. All right. The All-Star Game's in the books. Jared Duran was the MVP. He hit the two-run home run in the fifth inning that decided the game. Ohtani did give everybody a thrill with that 3-run monster bomb that he hit while they were interviewing Soto and Judge in the top of the third inning, and it sailed over both of their heads, and they were like, wow,
"You know, I didn't.
That was pretty impressive."
You know, it's funny. I didn't know that because I wasn't listening. I was actually listening on the radio.
Okay, at that time.
I heard it on the radio. Yeah,
yeah. No, they were interviewing Soto and Judge at that time, and both guys were kind of. They're both guys' jaws dropped a little bit.
On the radio call, Carl Ravitch, who does a nice job, he said, and I really wondered how in real time he knew this, he said it landed 12 rows deep in right field. And I immediately said to myself, how does he know it's 12 rows in real time?
I don't think he does.
I meant to literally go on the TV and try to count it to see if he was right.
It was, they ruled it a 400-foot home run, but they did not tell us exactly on television what row that ball landed in. All right, we are underway. Sam Levitt is sitting in with us for a couple of hours. We are hanging out until 6 o'clock. We've got all the regular stuff coming your way. A little Daily Gambit, a little Chris versus the fans, Frank and the infirmed Scraby will put together a big five, and we'll probably open up and take some phone calls on the program today. Get some of your input, thoughts on the first half of this Padres season and what you expect in the second half. So jot down the phone number, 833-288-0973. We'll talk with some of you here in this hour. Curious as to, you know, I kind of know what I think about the Padres first half and what I think about the second half coming up, but I'd like to hear what some of the listeners think. So we'll get to all of that as Gwen and Chris gets underway on 97.3 The Fan.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... you deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame.
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
As a parent, you always want to set your child up for success. So when they're struggling in school or they need help with homework, you try your best to step up. But sometimes you might not be equipped to answer. And it's better to leave that to the experts from IXL Learning. IXL Learning is an online learning program for kids. It covers math, language arts, science, and social studies. IXL can help your child really understand and master topics in a fun way with positive feedback. Powered by advanced algorithms, IXL gives the right help to each kid, no matter the age or personality. And when you sign up, one subscription gets you everything you need for all the kids in your home, from pre-K to 12th grade. IXL is used in 95 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S., with 1 in 4 students across the country using the program. So don't wait any longer. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
All right, we've had an ongoing discussion all week on Gwen and Chris. Is this the worst sports day of the year on the calendar? I thought Monday maybe was, but Monday at least we could recap the Padres game on Sunday. Yesterday we could get ready for the All-Star game. Today we can talk about it. But all in all, these 3 days, pretty quiet on the sports calendar now. I thought the WNBA missed an opportunity Monday on a day where there's no baseball of any kind. None of the major sports are playing. WNBA was dark. There wasn't a single game on Monday. So I thought that was a mistake. I think, you know, you got to take center stage now. Maybe the Home Run Derby altered their plans. But I don't know. I like to watch a game rather than a contest. Tonight there is a WNBA game, and it is one worth keeping an eye on. Caitlin Clark will be in action for Indiana at Dallas. Other than that, not a whole lot to kick around in the sports world. Crisello here with Sam Levitt, checking in today for a couple of hours. Nice enough to join us. Frank Marchese, Big Frank, is filling in for our poor board op and producer of the program, Matt Scraby, is out for a second day in a row feeling, well, he's sick. You can just say he's sick.
So this is where Scraby messed up. because tomorrow there's going to be absolutely nothing for you guys to talk about. And he'll probably be back tomorrow.
Even, you think so? So you're going to vote for tomorrow as the worst day on the sports calendar.
Yeah, because again, at least today you have...
an All-Star game.
Yeah, the All-Star game.
Tomorrow, the baseball doesn't get going again until Friday, right? I mean, I know the Padres don't play till Friday.
So you can't preview Friday's game on tomorrow because
do whatever
what are
I
you
going
to do on Friday?
I can preview the Super Bowl tomorrow if I want to.
That's true.
I don't know who's going to be playing in it. Sam, I'm glad to have you here. We're going to talk. I think we're going to open up the phone lines here in a little bit.
Okay.
And I'm going to ask two questions.
Okay.
To the listeners. One, give me your overall thoughts on the first half of the season, and give me your thoughts on what, in general, you think is going to happen in the second half of the season. So we're going to open up the lines. But before we get to the listeners on that, Sammy, I'll ask you those questions. I mean, you've had a couple of days to digest the first 99 games, the roller coaster ride that was the first half of this season, whether Mike Schilt wants to admit it or not. 50-49. Frank and I were talking yesterday. A whole lot of amazing things had to happen in the first half of the season for them to only go 50-49. Or you can look at it the other way and say, God, with all the injuries they had and, you know, guys out and, you know, certain star players not able to really put up the kind of numbers they normally do, 50-49 was pretty good.
Yeah.
So it's I guess you can look at it one or the other or both ways.
Yeah, I would say the record is right where you feel like it should be when you consider how up and down, and that's forgetting about the injuries even, but how up and down this first half was. Being a game above 500 feels just about right. I think overall, considering the injuries, I think you have to feel pretty good about this one thing, and that's that they are right in the mix with the second half of the season right in front of them. I mean, they have every chance to accomplish what they want to accomplish, which is make the postseason, and we go from there. You're a game out of a wild card spot,
right,
despite the injuries. Look, if somebody would have told you that Yu Darvish and Joe Musgrove would miss the majority of the first half,
yep,
what would you have said to that at spring training? If somebody told you Fernando Tatis Jr. would miss a month of the first half, and it seems like quite a chunk of the second half, what would you say to that? Xander Bogaerts missing almost 2 months. To be... let's just look at playoff picture, a game out of a postseason spot. I think you would have signed up for that.
Yeah.
But with that said, if you live in the last few weeks, I'll say this. It felt like this past week, the homestand, was a big missed opportunity.
Took a little air
team
out of the balloon, didn't it?
It did. It did. Because you had a real chance, you felt like, especially after the win on the Friday, the Machado walk-off home run, a real opportunity. And I said this, I filled in for Bannon Woods the day after July 4th.
Right.
Okay, so that's the night. That's
would that have been July 5th?
July 5th.
Okay.
Okay, that night is the Machado walk-off home run, okay? And I'll say right
that was
now,
the game that they led Suarez for one of the
right
few times,
Profar
coughed up the lead.
Profar ties it with the home
right
run
Profar
in the ninth, and Manny
and then
wins
Manny,
it.
They win that. They go, what was it, 6 games over .500
correct
at that point?
Correct.
Right.
I'll say the same thing now that I said then. There was a real opportunity on that homestand with how well they were playing, and especially after winning the first game of the homestand,
yeah,
to put a real stamp on the first half. You could have, if you played well enough, finish 8, 9, 10 games above 500, carry some real 20-25 game worth of momentum,
yeah,
into the All-Star break, and they didn't do that. So, unfortunately, I felt
yeah,
like...
yeah, they went 1-6 after you put
yes
that pressure on them,
right,
Sam.
Well, you ended the first half sort of with the same taste in your mouth that was really there the entire half, which is, this is really up and down. It's probably going to stay that way for a while, and I think the question becomes, as we get into August, as we get into September, do you have a run, enough of a run, to go grab a postseason spot and you go from there? And that is right in front of them. So when you zoom out, did anything really change from a month, 2 months ago to now? Not really. You're kind of in the spot where they've been the whole time.
Yeah. Real quick, and then we're going to get some phone calls in the next segment. So if you're online, stick around. 833-288-0973. But give me your top. I mean, it's tough, but give me your number one key to the second half of the season, to them getting to where they want to go. Putting you on the spot, Sam. This is what happens in a big time afternoon program like this.
Drive time.
Yeah.
I think starting pitching. I mean, and whatever that means, right? If that is with Darvish, if that's with Musgrove, if it's without them, if it is with an addition or two that may happen in the next couple of weeks, however they have to get it done, to me, it's starting pitching. I don't have, despite some of the really cold stretches this offense has had for a few games at a time, I feel really good about this offense. Let's be honest about it. For the most part, they've been really good, Chris, and they've been fairly consistent in being able to produce runs, and they've had their peaks and valleys. But I'm not super worried about the offense, the bullpen. Look, beyond the three of Morihone, Estrada, and Suarez, we know there are some soft spots there and some spots where you just don't know what you get outing to outing. But to me, if they pitch well, if guys like Cease are the Cease we saw his last start before the All-Star break, the start before that.
Wouldn't it be nice?
Yeah. If King is King and he is what he's been, if Vasquez continues to hold his own, if Waldron continues to be good, like, then I think you're in a really good spot. And you would imagine, and I think we all imagine this, that there's going to be an addition one way or the other. I fail to see in the next couple of weeks here that A.J. Preller, everything we know about him and how he operates and what he does, that there's not going to be some sort of addition. What that addition is, how big that addition is, what that addition costs, I have no idea. But I'm fairly confident in saying that there will be another starting pitcher on this team before August 1st.
Almost assuredly, especially
but to me, the starting
pitching, if the starting
pitching can hold up and be more consistent than it was in the first half, then I think they are in a pretty good position because I think they can hit. I think the bullpen, while not perfect, and they may get an addition or there as well, addition or two there as well. You know, I just feel like the starting pitching is a really big key. If they can keep you in games and be more consistent than they were in the first half, guys like Cease, King, etc. To me, that's the biggest key.
Yeah. Well, I think you mentioned Dylan Cease.
Yeah, he's got to be an ace.
Dylan Cease, honestly, is the poster boy for the first half of the San Diego Padres. Because they were as inconsistent overall as he was individually.
Yeah, fair.
I mean, incredible. How many games did this guy... I'm looking at it right now, Sam. He had 4 games in the first half where he pitched 6 or more innings and allowed 1 or less hits. 4 games. He also had 5 games in which he allowed 4 or more earned runs in less than 5 innings and wasn't very good. So, all right, we'll get to some phone calls. That's the question on the board, or 2 questions for you. What do you think of the first half now that you've had a little time to digest it? What do you think is going to happen in the second half? We'll let you go wherever you want with that. 833-288-0973. Chris Ello, Sam Levitt with us. Big Frank, Gwynn and Chris. Frank says, let's go. So let's go. 2:42 is the time. Chris Ello, Sammy Levitt sitting in today. We appreciate that. Gwynn and Chris on 97.3 The Fan. Tony Gwynn Jr. idle this week. And Matt Scraby forced out of action with illness. Hopefully, Scraby's back tomorrow. Don't forget, tomorrow morning at 10 a.m., even though it's the All-Star break, we will have our Padres radio roundtable.
Woo!
At least I believe we will. I'm planning to show up for it. I haven't received notice that we're not having it. So 1 hour of commercial-free Padre talk tomorrow morning from 10 to 11 a.m. If you happen to miss it, it plays again in the afternoon between 5 and 6. But the radio roundtable has been really fun this year. And I think Sammy made an appearance on that.
Yeah, a couple.
Early this season. Yeah, you made a couple.
I haven't been asked.
You haven't been asked back. Hey, they only can fit 5 or 6 chairs into that studio, you know. So it's a high level thing there. But yeah, we have some fun with that. And We'll talk everything Padres about the first half of the season and going into the second half. We got some phone callers. Going to give you guys a shot here, 833-288-0973. Very simply, your thoughts on the first half now that we've had a few days to digest it. And what do we need to here in the second half if we're going to get to where we all want to go in October? But before we get to the phone calls, I have to say out there, Frank Marchese is a wonderful, wonderful guy. Do not, absolutely, do not call him in anger
as assaulted.
Somebody did, and verbally assault Frank. Because I, and it is 100% on me, have not brought up the fact that the Open Championship starts tomorrow across the pond. I don't want to say I don't care about the Open Championships. I kind of do.
I'll say it. I don't care.
You don't care. You know, I'm going to tune in and watch some of the I still call it the British Open because, honestly, the Open kind of leaves me wanting. But, yeah, that's not on Frank. So please don't call and yell at Frank for something he has no control over. Appreciate that very much.
And I don't care because I don't play golf.
You're not a golfer at all?
I've never played around the golf in my life.
Is that right?
Yes.
That has got to put you in a tremendously small minority, especially of people living here in this city.
Well, yeah. And
you
I didn't grow up here. So,
did you, miniature golf, putt-putt?
Oh,
you've
yeah.
done a couple of rounds
oh,
of that? Okay.
Oh, yeah.
But do you think if we, you and I, after the show today, were to run down here to Stadium Golf, you know, just down the road. We teed up a couple. Could you?
Oh, yeah. I do the Top Golf in Glendale. Yeah, I've done it on my own.
So you've done a lot of that
stuff. Oh, yeah. I've never played a round
I've done a competitive round of golf.
I've done Top Golf. In fact, I went to Top Golf a couple of times alone during spring training.
Ah, down there.
Like on an off night or whatever.
It's a fun place to go.
Yeah, it's fun.
A little expensive.
Very expensive.
If you ask me.
Yes.
You know, I'd rather
and honestly, especially when you're doing it alone, after like a half hour,
you get
kind of bored. It's like, all right.
Oh, I know.
It.
A bucket of balls looks really inviting when you first get it. But when you're like halfway through the bucket of balls and your arms are like, and you've hit like 17 balls off to the side.
Right.
You're like, how am I ever going to get through this?
That's the thing is like after a while, I kind of figured out how to straighten it out.
Or
the best I can, a little
really?
Bit.
Could
I
mean, you tell
not,
me?
Not consistently.
Could you tell me how to do it?
No. But at least where it's not slicing all the way.
I play
to the right.
all the time, and I still can't figure out how to get it straight. So.
I was hitting. I think it was at least in Top Golf. I don't know what it actually was. Was like maybe 180.
Perfect.
190. Does that sound realistic at Top Golf?
It does for somebody that doesn't play.
Yeah.
You get a 180 and it's straight.
Yeah.
You can have a successful round of golf.
That's what I always say. I could hit it 300 yards. 150 yards straight, 150 yards to the right.
Yeah, that's right. What you want is the 150 that goes straight. That's all. All right, enough golf talk and enough yelling at Frank because we haven't talked about golf. Let's get back to some Padres stuff. Josh, first on the board there from San Diego. Welcome into Gwynn and Chris. Josh, how are you today?
Yeah, I'm doing all right.
Good. What do you think of the first half, Josh, and what do you think we need to do in the second half?
So I got to actually give a shout-out to Preller with picking up Merrill and Profar because those two have been the outstanding players. Picking up Arise for the trade, they've really carried the team when it comes to the injuries because for some reason when the Padres get injured, they played better. So when it comes to Yu Darvish and Bogart's injuries, they've actually played better when they're not out there, and they're getting those guys from AAA, and they need to actually just get the veterans to play to the level as they do because, I mean, I'm a Tigers fan since I'm from the Detroit area originally, but it's just a laughingstock when you see San Diego have five games that they win, and then they go on these five-game losing streaks just to go back on a five-game win streak, to go back on a five-game lose streak, back and forth. When at the beginning of the season, it was a 1-1. They need to make up their minds. They need to actually get together after a loss and go, okay, you know what? We lost this one, but tomorrow's another day. Let's go out and give it our best so that we can actually stay above 500 because, I mean, what are they at? Like 30 times they've been at 500 now?
25 times officially, Josh, that they've been at the 500 mark. They're hoping to avoid 26 when they play in Cleveland Friday night. Thanks for the call. Here's the interesting thing, Sam.
Yes.
A lot of people have said this. We played better when the guys have been injured. I looked it up. The record with Xander Bogaerts was 24-23.
Mm-hmm.
The record without Xander Bogaerts was like 24-24. They're pretty much the same. You know, with Darvish, they had their moments. Without Darvish, they had their moment. This is a 500 team in every sense of the word, and day games, in night games, in home games, in road games, against left-handed pitchers, against right-handed pitchers. Almost every metric you want to name, you look up the numbers, they are 500. It doesn't seem to matter almost who's been in the lineup and who hasn't right. been in the lineup. It really is in a lot of ways strange because, like Josh says, you would think when they're healthy, that's when they'd be 10 games over.
Yeah.
And when they're not, they might be 10 games under, but it really hasn't been that way.
Yeah, it's been the up and down nature has been from very, very early on. I mean, it was the entire first half pretty mm-hmm. much, right? I mean, the yeah. seesaw nature of it. Not that a 500 team naturally isn't up and down. A 500 team is up and down. That's how you're always hovering somewhere around 500, which is, I think, the thing that stands out with this group in the first half is it. I mean, you can go back to like the Sunday in Kansas City. That was a stretch where they, and I don't have it in front of me right now,
but
a stretch where they won 5 out of 6. And from that point on, it was literally like, win 5 out of 6, lose 5 in a row. Win 5 out of 6, lose 5 in a row. Win 12 out of 15. Lose 5 in a row, and they lost 6 out of 7.
That's exactly what happened.
Is
Sam,
that exactly
I have it in front of me.
Wow.
That is exactly.
How good am I?
You're great, and that's why we call you the great one. That is exactly what happened. That
now,
Sunday,
is every 500 team that volatile? I don't know.
Yeah.
No.
Well, you know, we noted the other day, and I think it was Craig texted me on this, that they've had 4 5-game losing streaks this year. The only other teams in baseball who've had that many are the Marlins, the White Sox, and the Rockies,
right.
The worst teams in baseball. I think the Rangers snuck in there as well. But the point being, they've done something that really only the bottom of the barrel teams have done this year, which is to have that many 5-game losing streaks. Now, they've never had more than a 5-game losing streak. They've never had more than a 5-game win streak, if I'm not mistaken, right? What's their longest? What is their longest win streak?
Five.
So they, five it, is yeah. it both ways.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they've had a bunch of both. So.
Right. And with 4 or 5-game losing streaks, they still somehow enter the break a game above, which is, I guess, the glass half full way of looking
at it. That's how you've got to look
yeah.
at it if you're the Padres. I know one person who looks at it that way, the happiest guy on earth, Mike Shildt. He looks at it as if, you know, everything that's gone against us and we've still managed to be here, that's fantastic. I just worry that Profar and Merrill and Higashioka and Waldron and, you know, some of these guys that have really answered the question, you know, affirmatively in the first half are going to come back to earth in the second half. I'm not going to say they're going to collapse. I don't think that's going to happen. But I think they're going to come back to earth. And if they do, you know, somebody's going to have to pick up that slack.
Well, it boils down to what I think we consistently say it boils down to for this group, whether that was 2023 or here in 2024. And this is where I think I really disagree with the caller. They've got to have their big guys carry the way.
Yeah.
And that's where, you know, if you sit there and say, well, it seemed like they actually played better while those guys were out. I say, you know what? They were able to tread water for the most part through mm-hmm. 99 games.
Yeah.
But you can't sit there and tell me that Bogaerts, Manny, Arraez, Cronenworth, and then the guys who you hope come back, Tatis, Musgrove, Darvish, aren't going to be incredibly important to this team ultimately being in the postseason. Because if those guys are not good or don't contribute, I think it's probably fighting an uphill battle. I do.
And just to add to your guys, they're 500 everywhere. Most times they've been shut out is 8. Most times they've shut out an opponent is 5, so basically 500. Most amount of comeback win, amount of comeback wins, 22, blown leads, 16. So there, thereabouts as far as 500 goes. Walk-off wins, 6. Walk-off losses, 4. So
yeah, no, everything's even. Everything is even. And that's why it's all added up to even. Let's go to Eddie in Chula Vista. Thanks for joining us today, Eddie. How are you? Yellow?
Eddie.
Lost the line. Hold on.
Uh-oh. Frank, get the line.
Can't get Eddie for some reason. I can get the next guy, but this is something that I think
we'll
have to
do. Eddie, hang in there
and
we'll figure you out. Let's get Mario then in National City. Hi, Mario.
Good Padre afternoon.
Good afternoon, sir.
Hey, well, so it's got to happen this season. For me, it looks cool. You know, they've done what they've done. Some guys been hurt, some guys been picking up other guys. The addition of DeRisa Rice, good addition. Peralta. You know, but everybody has to be accountable, including the third base coach. I think I've seen the third base coach give up about 10 runs, and maybe half of them have been valuable runs, runs that might have been a difference in a win and a loss. So I think having an aggressive coach, along with a little bit of bunting here and there. I spoke before to Sam about bunting. Okay, so when they do bunt. It's fun. Of course, they're trying to bunt for a base hit. Not to advance the runner. They're going to try to bunt for a base hit.
Yeah.
Why can't Camposano now and then try to bunt for a base hit? And if you don't get a base hit, the least he does is get the runner to second.
Hey, Eddie, or Mario. Sorry, got a little mixed up there. Mario, thanks a lot for the call.
Hey, it's Craig from Andy.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame.
Two more.
You deserve this ice cold reward. Modelo, the Markable Fighter. Drink responsibly, beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks... What happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
As a parent, you always want to set your child up for success. So when they're struggling in school or they need help with homework, you try your best to step up. But sometimes you might not be equipped to answer. And it's better to leave that to the experts from IXL Learning. IXL Learning is an online learning program for kids. It covers math, language arts, science, and social studies. IXL can help your child really understand and master topics in a fun way with positive feedback. Powered by advanced algorithms, IXL gives the right help to each kid, no matter the age or personality. And when you sign up, one subscription gets you everything you need for all the kids in your home, from pre-K to 12th grade. IXL is used in 95 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S., with 1 in 4 students across the country using the program. So don't wait any longer. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Frank says, let's go. So let's go. 2:42 is the time. Chris Ello. Sammy Levitt sitting in today. We appreciate that. Gwen and Chris on 97.3 The Fan. Tony Gwynn Jr. idle this week. And Matt Scraby forced out of action with illness. Hopefully, Scraby's back tomorrow. Don't forget, tomorrow morning at 10 a.m., even though it's the All-Star break, we will have our Padres radio roundtable. At least I believe we will. I'm planning to show up for it. I haven't received notice that we're not having it. So 1 hour of commercial-free Padre talk tomorrow morning from 10 to 11 a.m. If you happen to miss it, it plays again in the afternoon between 5 and 6. But the radio roundtable has been really fun this year. And I think Sammy made an appearance on that.
Yeah, a couple.
Early this season. Yeah, you made a couple.
I haven't been asked.
You haven't been asked back. Hey, they only can fit 5 or 6 chairs into that studio, you know. So it's a high level thing there. But yeah, we have some fun with that, and we'll talk everything Padres about the first half of the season and going into the second half. We got some phone callers. Going to give you guys a shot here. 833-288-0973. Very simply, your thoughts on the first half. Now that we've had a few days to digest it. And what do we need to, what do we need here in the second half if we're going to get to where we all want to go in October? But before we get to the phone calls, I have to say out there, Frank Marchese is a wonderful, wonderful guy. Do not, absolutely do not call him in anger as
assaulted.
Somebody did and verbally assault Frank. Because I, and it is 100% on me, have not brought up the fact that the Open Championship starts tomorrow across the pond. I don't want to say I don't care about the Open Championships. I kind of do.
I'll say it. I don't care.
You don't care. You know, I'm going to tune in and watch some of the – I still call it the British Open because, honestly, the Open kind of leaves me wanting. But, yeah, that's not on Frank. So please don't call and yell at Frank for something he has no control over. Appreciate that very much.
And I don't care because I don't play golf.
You're not a golfer at all?
I've never played around the golf in my life.
Is that right?
Yes.
That has got to put you in a tremendously small minority, especially of people living here in this city.
Well, yeah. And
you
I didn't grow up here. So,
did you, miniature golf, putt-putt?
You've done
a couple of rounds of that? Okay.
Oh, yeah.
But do you think if you and I, after the show today, were to run down here to Stadium Golf, you know, just down the road. Could you, and we teed up a couple. Could you?
Oh, yeah. I do the Top Golf in Glendale. Yeah. I've done it on my own.
So you've done a lot of that
stuff. Oh, yeah. I've never played a round.
You just never played
a. I've done putt-putt.
A competitive round of golf.
I've done Top Golf. In fact, I went to Top Golf a couple of times alone during spring training.
Down there.
Like on an off night or whatever.
It's a fun place to go.
Yeah, it's fun.
A little expensive.
Very expensive.
If you ask me.
Yes.
You know, I'd rather
and honestly, especially when you're doing it alone, after like a half hour,
you get
kind of bored. It's like, all right.
Oh, I know.
It.
A bucket of balls looks really inviting when you first get it. But when you're like halfway through the bucket of balls and your arms are like, ugh.
Yeah.
And you've hit like 17 balls off to the side.
Right.
You're like, how am I ever going to get through this
thing? That's the thing is like, after a while, I kind of figured out how to straighten it out.
You
did. Best I can, a little
bit. Could you tell me?
Not consistently.
Could you tell me how to do it?
No. But at least where it's not slicing all the way.
I play all the time, and I still can't figure out how to get it straight.
I was hitting. I think I hit like I think the highest I hit would, I think it was at least in Top Golf. I don't know what it actually right. Was like maybe 180.
Perfect.
190. Does that sound realistic at Top Golf?
It does for somebody that doesn't play. Yeah. You get a 180 and it's straight. Yeah. You can have a successful round of golf.
That's what I always say. I could shoot. I could hit it 300 yards. 150 yards straight, 150 yards to the right.
Yeah, that's right. You, what you want is the 150 that goes straight. That's all. All right, enough golf talk and enough yelling at Frank because we haven't talked about golf. Let's get back to some Padres stuff. Josh, first on the board there from San Diego. Welcome into Gwynn and Chris. Josh, how are you today?
Yeah, I'm doing all right.
Good. What do you think of the first half, Josh, and what do you think we need to do in the second half?
So I got to actually give a shout-out to Preller with picking up Merrill and Profar because those two have been the outstanding players. Picking up Arise for the trade, they've really carried the team when it comes to the injuries because for some reason when the Padres get injured, they play better. So when it comes to Yu Darvish and Bogart's injuries, they've actually played better when they're not out there, and they're getting those guys from AAA, and they need to actually just get the veterans to play to the level as they do because, I mean, I'm a Tigers fan since I'm from the Detroit area originally, but it's just a laughing stock when you see San Diego have five games that they win, and then they go on these five-game losing streaks just to go back on a five-game win streak, to go back on a five-game lose streak,
yeah,
back and forth. When at the beginning of the season, it was a 1-1. They need to make up their minds. They need to actually get together after a loss and go, okay, you know what? We lost this one, but tomorrow's another day. Let's go out and give it our best so that we can actually stay above 500 because, I mean, what are they at, like 30 times they've been at 500 now?
25 times officially, Josh, that they've been at the 500 mark. They're hoping to avoid 26 when they play in Cleveland Friday night. Thanks for the call. Here's the interesting thing, Sam.
Yes.
A lot of people have said this. We played better when the guys have been injured. I looked it up. The record with Xander Bogaerts was 24-23.
Mm-hmm.
The record without Xander Bogaerts was like 24-24. They're pretty much the same. You know, with Darvish, they had their moments. Without Darvish, they had their moment. This is a 500 team in every sense of the word, and day games, in night games, in home games, in road games, against left-handed pitchers, against right-handed pitchers. Almost every metric you want to name, you look up the numbers, they are 500. It doesn't seem to matter almost who's been in the lineup and who hasn't right. been in the lineup. It really is in a lot of ways strange because, like Josh says, you would think when they're healthy, that's when they'd be 10 games over.
Yeah.
And when they're not, they might be 10 games under, but it really hasn't been that way.
Yeah, it's been the up and down nature has been from very, very early on. I mean, it was the entire first half pretty mm-hmm. much, right? I mean, the seesaw nature of it. Not that a 500 team naturally isn't up and down. A 500 team is up and down. That's how you're always hovering somewhere around 500, which is, I think, the thing that stands out with this group in the first half is it, I mean, you can go back to like the Sunday in Kansas City. That was a stretch where they, and I don't have it in front of me right now, a stretch where they won 5 out of 6. And from that point on, it was literally like, win 5 out of 6, lose 5 in a row. Win 5 out of 6, lose 5 in a row. Win 12 out of 15, lose 5 in a row, and they lost 6 out of 7.
That's exactly what happened. Sam, exactly I have it in front of me. Wow. That is exactly.
How good am I?
You're great, and that's why we call you the great one. That is exactly what happened. That
now,
Sunday,
is every 500 team that volatile? I don't know.
Yeah.
No.
Well, you know, we noted the other day, and I think it was Craig texted me on this, that they've had 4 5-game losing streaks this year. The only other teams in baseball who've had that many are the Marlins, the White Sox, and the Rockies,
right.
The worst teams in baseball. I think the Rangers snuck in there as well. But the point being, they've done something that really only the bottom of the barrel teams have done this year, which is to have that many five-game losing streaks. Now, they've never had more than a five-game losing streak. They've never had more than a five-game win streak, if I'm not mistaken, right? What's their longest? What is their longest win streak?
Five.
Five. So five is it both ways.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they've had a bunch of both. So.
Right. And with 4 or 5 game losing streaks, they still somehow enter the break a game above, which is, I guess, the glass half full way of looking
at it. That's how you've got to look at it if you're the Padres. I know one person who looks at it that way, the happiest guy on earth, Mike Schilt. He looks at it as if, you know, everything that's gone against us and we've still managed to be here, that's fantastic. I just worry that Profar and Merrill and Higashioka and Waldron and, you know, some of these guys that have really answered the question, you know, affirmatively in the first half are going to come back to earth in the second half. I'm not going to say they're going to collapse. I don't think that's going to happen. But I think they're going to come back to earth. And if they do, you know, somebody's going to have to pick up that slack.
Well, it boils down to what I think we consistently say it boils down to for this group, whether that was 2023 or here in 2024. And this is where I think I really disagree with the caller. They've got to have their big guys carry the way.
Yeah.
And that's where, you know, if you sit there and say, well, it seemed like they actually played better while those guys were out. I say, you know what? They were able to tread water for the most part through 99 games.
Yeah.
But you can't sit there and tell me that Bogarts, Manny, Arise, Cronenworth, and then the guys who you hope come back, Tatis, Musgrove, Darvish, aren't going to be incredibly important to this team ultimately being in the postseason. Because if those guys are not good or don't contribute, I think it's probably fighting an uphill battle. I do.
And just to add to your guys, they're 500 everywhere. Most times they've been shut out is 8. Most times they've shut out an opponent is 5. So basically 500. Most amount of comeback win amount of comeback wins 22, blown leads 16, so there or thereabouts as far as 500 goes. Walk off wins 6, walk off losses 4.
So yeah, no, everything's even. Everything is even, and that's why it's all added up to even. Let's go to Eddie in Chula Vista. Thanks for joining us today, Eddie. How are you? Yellow,
Eddie
lost the line. Hold on.
Uh oh, Frank, get the line.
Can't get Eddie for some reason. I can get the next guy, but this is something that I think we'll have
Eddie,
to worry
hang
about
in there,
the
and we'll figure you out. Let's get Mario then in National City.
Hi, Mario.
Good Padre afternoon.
Good afternoon, hey. Sir.
Hey, well, so it's got half of the season. For me, it looks cool. You know, they've done what they've done. Some guys been hurt. Some guys been picking up other guys. The addition of Luis Arraez, a good addition. Peralta. You know, but everybody has to be accountable, including the third base coach. I think I've seen the third base coach give up about 10 runs, and maybe half of them have been valuable runs. Runs that might have been a difference in a win and a loss. So I think having an aggressive coach along with a little bit of bunting here and there. I spoke before to Sam about bunting. Okay, so when they do bunt, it's fun. Of course, they're trying to bunt for a base hit, not to advance the runner. They're going to try to bunt for a base hit.
Yeah.
Why can't Camposano now and then try to bunt for a base hit? And if you don't get a base hit, the least he does is get the runner to second.
Hey, Eddie, or Mario, sorry, got a little mixed up there. Mario, thanks a lot for the call.
Hey, it's Craig from
As a parent, you always want to set your child up for success. So when they're struggling in school or they need help with homework, you try your best to step up. But sometimes you might not be equipped to answer. And it's better to leave that to the experts from IXL Learning. IXL Learning is an online learning program for kids. It covers math, language arts, science, and social studies. IXL can help your child really understand and master topics in a fun way with positive feedback. Powered by advanced algorithms, IXL gives the right help to each kid, no matter the age or personality. And when you sign up, one subscription gets you everything you need for all the kids in your home, from pre-K to 12th grade. IXL is used in 95 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S., with 1 in 4 students across the country using the program. So don't wait any longer. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.